Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Madhya Lila, Chapter 19, Lord Chaitanya's Instructions to Srila Rupa Goswami, Text 159. Fairly well-known verse among those who are serious students of Chaitanya Charitamrita, especially in Bengal. Many Vaishnavas know this verse, and especially there are three key words. Anyway, let's read it first. Nishidacha kuti nati jiva hingshan lab puja pratishta di jato upashaka gon. Translation. Some unnecessary creepers growing with the bhakti creeper are the creepers of behavior unacceptable for those trying to attain perfection. Diplomatic behavior, animal killing, mundane profiteering, mundane adoration, and mundane importance, all these are unwanted creepers. Purport. There is a certain pattern of behavior prescribed for those actually trying to become perfect. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we advise our students not to eat meat, not to gamble, not to engage in illicit sex, and not to indulge in intoxication. People who indulge in these activities can never become perfect. Therefore, these regulative principles are for those interested in becoming perfect and going back to Godhead. Kuti nati, or diplomatic behavior, cannot satisfy the Atma, the soul. It cannot even satisfy the body or the mind. The culprit mind is always suspicious. Therefore, our dealings should always be straightforward and approved by Vedic authorities. If we treat people diplomatically or duplicitously, our spiritual advancement is obstructed. Jiva Hingson refers to the killing of animals or to envy of other living entities. The killing of poor animals is undoubtedly due to envy of those animals. The human form is meant for the understanding of Krishna consciousness, Atato Brahma Jignasa, for inquiring about the Supreme Brahman. In the human form, everyone has a chance to understand the Supreme Brahman. The so-called leaders of human society do not know the real aim of human life and are therefore busy with economic development. This is misleading. Every state and every society is busy trying to improve the quality of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. This human form of life is meant for more than these four animal principles. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending are problems found in the animal kingdom, and the animals have solved these problems without difficulty. Why should human society be so busy trying to solve these problems? The difficulty is that people are not educated to understand this simple philosophy. They think that advancement of civilization means increasing sense gratification. There are many religious propagandists who do not know how the ultimate problems of life can be solved, and they also try to educate people in a form of sense gratification. This is also jiva hingsan. Real knowledge is not given, and religionists mislead the general populace. As far as material profits are concerned, one should know that whatever material profit one has must be abandoned at the time of death. Unfortunately, people do not know that there is life after death. Therefore, mundane people waste their time amassing material profit, which has to be left behind at the time of death. Such profit has no eternal benefit. Similarly, adoration by mundane people is valueless, because after death one has to accept another body. Material adoration and titles are decorations that cannot be carried over to the next body. In the next life, everything is forgotten. All these obstructions have been described in this verse as unwanted creepers. They simply present obstacles for the real creeper, the bhakti lata. One should be very careful to avoid all these unwanted things. Sometimes these unwanted creepers look exactly like the bhakti creeper. They appear to be of the same size and the same species when they are packed together with the bhakti creeper. But in spite of this, the creepers are called upashaka, which means weeds. A pure devotee can distinguish between the bhakti creeper and the mundane creeper, and he is very alert to distinguish them and keep them separate. Nishedacha kutinati. Nishedacha, let's try again. Nishedacha kutinati jibahingshan lab puja pratishthadi jato upashaka gan. Some unnecessary creepers growing with the bhakti creeper are the creepers of behavior unacceptable for those trying to attain perfection. Diplomatic behavior, animal killing, mundane profiteering, mundane adoration, and mundane importance, all these are unwanted creepers. Yeah, so as I was saying, this verse, especially these three words, lab, puja, pratishta, are well known among serious students of Chaitanya Charitamrita, especially in Bengal. These three very dangerous things. It's not so pleasant to talk about these things. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Ki kaj shanyashamo prema nijadhan. What have I got to do with anything material, even renouncing the world as a sannyasi? My real wealth of my life is Krishna prema. So it's unfortunate we have to discuss these things, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also discussed these things. He's instructing Rupa Goswami, and via Rupa Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs the whole world, ultimately to the point of understanding himself, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rupa Goswami is the one who revealed to the world Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's inner feelings as Radha pining for Krishna. So this is the zenith of spiritual understanding. But we're not at the zenith, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to lift us up from that. He gave the chanting of the holy names, but he also gave so many instructions so that we can come out of the wicked mentality by which we are ensconced in this material birth and death cycle. We're all in the Brahmanda, in the big egg, going from one species to another. How to get out of it, and more than go out of it, get to love of God. We have to come up to this level of being a completely pure devotee. Srila Prabhupada, he also discussed these things. He came on behalf of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give pure love of Krishna. But if we're going to go there to that land of love and bliss, Vrindavan, we have to come out of material consciousness, and we have to be alert, as Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport here. A pure devotee can distinguish between the bhakti creeper and a mundane creeper, and he is very alert to distinguish them and keep them separate. So we have to be alert not to be victimized by these unwanted in the sense that they're obstacles, that these unwanted tendencies which spoil our devotional advancement. The first is nishedacha, forbidden activities. And Srila Prabhupada, he stressed so much that if we want to actually advance in Krishna consciousness, then we have to stop having illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, and intoxication. Stopping these things in and of itself will not give pure love of God, but if we don't do this, then it's going to be severe impediments on our even beginning to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. But in some ways, the others mentioned here are worse. There are unlimited creepers or metaphorically, these activities or these tendencies are called creepers, because they stifle the true creeper of devotional service. They're like weeds in a garden, metaphorically. So there are unlimited numbers of weeds, as any gardener knows, especially if you're in a anywhere, but especially in a lush climate where there's plenty of rain and good soil, like in Bengal. And so many things just grow up, even without cultivating. So many things, edible and things, and inedible and poisonous things, also grow up. Nishidacha, tendency toward illicit sex, intoxication, that can be from weakness. Not that one is deliberately trying to mislead others, as is there in kutinati. Kutniti means diplomacy. That's the meat eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex. These are wicked tendencies, no doubt. But this tendency to be diplomatic, behaving with people in a way to mislead them and take advantage of them, that's really a wicked mentality. If one is sinful, that is one thing. That is wrong, no doubt. But if one is diplomatic in behavior, showing oneself to be very nice, actually you want to take advantage of someone, especially when it's done in relation to devotees. If someone's supposed to be a devotee and they behave diplomatic with another to take personal advantage for some sense gratification, then that becomes an offense to that devotee. Jiva hingsa is also very bad. That's the straightforward, obvious meaning of that is violence to animals and humans, killing animals, which is rampant in the what Srila Prabhupada called the devilish culture. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur defined that as not preaching Krishna consciousness, even where we have the knowledge of Krishna consciousness, but we don't do so. In this regard, the three sentences in this purport are very pertinent to our devotees who have been trained in Krishna consciousness and who know the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and are supposed to be preaching Krishna consciousness, but they hide Krishna. They keep Krishna in the background, or they don't mention him at all, and they present themselves as life coaches or helping people to get off drugs and telling sentimental stories, and but no Krishna. So three sentences from this purport are very pertinent in this regard. Srila Prabhupada writes, there are many religious propagandists who do not know how the ultimate problems of life can be solved. But here we have religious propagandists who do know. But Srila Prabhupada writes, there are many religious propagandists who do not know how the ultimate problems of life can be solved, and they also try to educate people in a form of sense gratification. So what to speak of people who do know, and they still try to educate people in a form of sense gratification. This is also jiva hingsan. Real knowledge is not given. Real knowledge is not given, and religionists mislead the general populace. You know, if you're talking about we're helping the poor, we're helping the people, the eye camps, and you have to give us money because we're feeding the poor, and we're feeding the school children, including the contract with the government of Orissa to supply them eggs. This is all going on in the name of Srila Prabhupada, believe it or not. Then it's misleading the general populace very seriously, because maybe more seriously than those who are just open, plain Mayavadis. Anyway, that's just one of the weeds that can grow up in the name of devotional service. Kutinati. Kutinati, diplomatic behavior, is also very much mixed with Labha Puja Pratishtadi Jato Upashakam, the desire for material gain, to be lauded by others, oh, such a great saintly person, such a great guru, oh, how wonderful, or to have some position, GBC, big shot, senior devotee, desires for to be known, or my name should go down in history as a great acharya. So I better make a big show while I'm here. I should have a bigger samadhi than others to show I'm a bigger devotee. So when one cultivates lab, the desires for monetary gain, position, adoration, when one cultivates these desires while doing devotional service, then there will be kutinati, diplomatic behavior, making a show of devotional service for ulterior purposes. This kutinati, this diplomatic, duplicitous behavior is the opposite of sharalata, simplicity, which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says is the core characteristic of a Vaishnava. If there is simplicity, the attitude, we're all here to serve Krishna, so let's do that, and then there's love and trust is fostered. The very basis, what to speak of Krishna consciousness, even Varnashram, it can be done formally with rules and regulations, but there's at least a trust is there that everyone has their duty to perform. Everyone does that. The dharma they execute. So that's the basis of Varnashram society. The basic trust that everyone's doing their duty. And then when we come together as Vaishnavas in Vaishnava society, it's not just trust, but love. If there's no love and trust in Vaishnava society, it's not really Vaishnava society at all. Now, I decided to speak on this subject. Actually, it was some time ago, and I was feeling very pained in my heart, and something came out, and I still hurt, so I'm speaking about it. In one of the gurukuls that I'm overseeing, where we've seen that two of the boys had been acting, that they'd been in this gurukul for years, but it was seen that they were behaving duplicitously with the other students, with their teachers, and with others. And when this came out, it was revealed, because you can't be so smart and duplicitous and get away with it all the time. You can fool all the people some of the time and some people all the time, but you can't fool all the people all of the time. So when it came out, then making excuses, lying, not accepting their fault, shifting the blame by lying and trying to say actually someone else is at fault. There's no need to go into all the details. I didn't even get into all the details because it was so unpalatable. But what is happening here? These are young boys. They're not very old. They may say, well, they're innocent boys, but that's the point. They're not so innocent. There's no respect for their teachers, that they can lie to their teachers like that. No gratitude for all that's been done for them. It speaks of a total lack of sincerity. So they were exposed. It's not that we didn't pillory them, but necessarily all the points came out, and then they just left, called their parents and left. They didn't want to accept and be rectified. But it's good that we did bring it out, because if you let people get away with things, they get worse. It becomes completely internalized, and they think, I'm manipulating these people this way and that way, and they take it as their steibhav, or their right. It's their position in life to manipulate others and take advantage of them, and then there develops, which had developed in these boys, some egoism by which they think, I am better than others because I'm very smart, and I'm controlling the situation here by playing off one person against another, manipulating, and it's the seeds of psychopathy in what are basically children, teenagers, older teenagers, but they've been with us since they were children, and not admitting any wrong on their part. It's very hard to overcome once it becomes deep-seated. It's deluding oneself and others. It's difficult to overcome because the whole of material existence is deluding oneself as to one's actual identity, trying to enjoy this material world by all means possible, and trying to take advantage of others. And during my 40-something years attempting to practice Krishna consciousness, we see within Vaishnava society, which is basically the best. Vaishnavas are the best people. They're really trying to surrender to Krishna. But there are some people who somehow or other enter Vaishnava society. Bhaktivinoda Thakur calls them Kali Chalas. People who look like Vaishnavas. They've learned how to act as Vaishnavas, but actually they're disciples of Kali Yuga. They have different motives. Such we've seen cases like this. They're incorrigible. Once it becomes ingrained in them, and they become a blight on the whole of Vaishnava society. They can cause so much damage to people's devotional advancement, because people come into Vaishnava society trusting others, and they take advantage of that trust and mislead them, and they may turn others against the very Vaishnavas who are trying to help others and make politics. And this kind of talk I've made several times before, but it doesn't have any effect on those who are the psychopathic types. And usually those who are sincere, they start to think, oh, I'm doing something wrong. The ones who are not seriously on the wrong path, they're the ones who take this kind of talk seriously and think, oh, I have to really try and purify myself. And those who are in this kind of mentality, they never listen to anything anyway. They might have made a show of sitting in talks. They might have even given some talks themselves. But they never heard anything. All they can hear is their own egoism pounding away from within this, in their skulls. It was surprising, I must say, after so many years, I've seen, anyone who's been around this long has seen such types, but it's quite surprising to see in such young boys how they can be so cunning. And then I was wondering, how can they be so cunning? From us, they're quite smart, actually. They got away with it for some time. And then nothing super serious. I mean, not like they were plotting to blow up the Houses of Parliament or something like that. It might seem that we're overreacting, but you can see the tendency of just trying to manipulate others and not being properly respectful and all this. And very pronouncedly, it's not just some mild thing. So I wonder, how can they have such tendencies at such a young age, especially they haven't been trained like that? Is that they're not going to Shanda and Amarka's Gurukul, where they're trained to be diplomatic and cunning. And then you think, well, what about the fox? The fox is known as a sly fox, cunning fox. They have that ingrained tendency to be able to mislead others, the fox. They have that from a previous birth. They must have been such people in a previous birth. People get certain tendencies ingrained in them. It's a carryover from a previous life. Now, of course, in our Gurukul, we want to reform others, but usually most of the children who are in the Gurukul are sent by their parents, and the parents may be better than the children. The parents desire well for their children, or the parents themselves might have some tendencies like that also. It's all very complex. Gahana karmano gatihi. It's very difficult to exactly ascertain exactly why someone has such a mentality from their previous lives and from this life. But those who have such tendencies and they don't want to reform themselves from all these bad tendencies, then they go out from school. Nowadays, everyone's sent to school, for better or for worse, generally for worse, as we learned from Srila Prabhupada and we see practically. They go out into the world and become quite expert at manipulating others, but, well, especially in our Gurukul, it's a very sheltered environment. We want to introduce the boys gradually to the world through the lens of Krishna consciousness, but not to expose them directly to all the harshness of it. The desire is that they will remain in Vaishnava society, and then that will be the best for them to fulfill the aim of human life, which is to go back to Godhead. But if you're going to be materialistic, despite having such an opportunity, then you have to go out into the material world, and then you can do all your tricks out there, which everyone's doing, most people are doing to some extent or other, in the modern age especially. But you don't know how harsh it is out there. It's tough. Devotees, they may not be very retributional towards you. They may not be vengeful or any such thing, but it's really tough out there in the material world, and you might prefer that due to some perverse tendency, but you won't get away with it as you will in Vaishnava society. The principles of humility and tolerance are simply not inculcated in the schools or in society today. As long as you're among the devotees, you can. Maybe that's why certain psychopathic types enter our society. They take advantage of the devotees' humility and tolerance. They may, such psychopathic types, they may be the ones who preach more, don't make any Vaishnava aparads, and they take advantage of this, don't make Vaishnava aparads because they themselves want to manipulate the whole Vaishnava society and not be caught out for that. It's like the fox enters the chicken shed and says, don't criticize anyone, as he's eating them one by one. So psychopathic types, they can take advantage of devotees' tolerance, but the devotees, their tolerance should be not foolish tolerance, and they shouldn't let others enter, or when they're detected, because after all such people are duplicitous, so when they're detected they shouldn't be allowed to stay, or shouldn't be allowed to continue with their nefarious schemes. They can't stay on their own terms and conditions. Those who are spoiling Vaishnava society, they should be given some ultimatum that you, or just given some other service. Sometimes you see that someone's someone's in a leadership position. They're not really leading properly. They're taking advantage of the position for their own comfort, and then either physical or mental or both, or even economic. And then you say, "Well, okay, it's time to move on with your service," and they just don't want to do it. They don't care for it. Guru, anything. they're attached to the position, not attached to making spiritual advancement. You can't stay indefinitely on your own conditions, even in the material world. What to speak in an idealistic society, which the Vaishnava society is supposed to be. And if the Vaishnava society is not idealistic, and we admit all kinds of nishidacha, kutinati, jiva hingshan, lab, puja, pratishtadi, jato, upashaka, gone. If we allow that within Vaishnava society, then it's not Vaishnava society, it's just a sham. A real Vaishnava society means it is idealistic and we're trying to improve. Such psychopathic types may not then themselves may go out, because you have to follow some rules in Vaishnava society, and they may not simply like to. They may like to indulge in very gross sense gratification. But they should know, those who think that they can. Now I got well trained with the, it was an easy pick, taking advantage of the Vaishnavas. Now let us go out into the world and make our mark. But you won't get the same kind of tolerance. I'm very afraid that boys who come out and that they have such an attitude that by their manipulating, someone may beat them up, or they'll end up in jail, or at least they're going to be insulted and treated harshly by others. Or they may learn to manipulate others in such a way that they look very good. Like there are many people in this world who they've perfected the art of making themselves look very good and having people praise them while they do all kinds of grossly harmful activities, things which are grossly harmful for others. So another word for all this diplomatic behavior is what Srila Prabhupada used to call politics. And it's like something like office politics. It's not exactly the same as being in a political party, but it's psychological pushing and shoving and trying to take advantage of others. And but Srila Prabhupada said that in Krishna consciousness, politics will spoil everything. So that's what you like. You can go join a political party, and I don't know how people can be in a political party, and it's they know, those who are in it, but all the time. I mean, office politics is one thing, but to make a career out, it's just openly called politics. Someone, I'm a politician. Is that a qualification to be a professional politician? That's some kind of qualification. The politician means that you're double-faced by profession. you say one thing, and I was just listening to yesterday Srila Prabhupada. He was quoting a British Prime Minister, Lloyd George. And Prabhupada said he'd come to India, and someone had said to Lloyd George that you're not being, he was caught out for not being truthful. And Lloyd George, the Prime Minister of Britain, which was posing and still does pose itself as the most civil, or maybe the only really civilized country in the world. So the prime minister said, truthfulness is the qualification of an ass. Prabhupada cited that, and these are the politicians who are leading the world. This is what you're getting into. Total lack of any sincerity or good nature. You might make a show of being good natured just for your own personal advantage. And especially with democracy, this politics is, it's a profession, to be a professional politician and make yourself look good in the eyes of the populace while you have another motivation. So anyway, I'm talking about children. And like I say, in terms of what was actually done, it was childish. Nothing serious, nothing at all, just a little lying and cheating and at children's level. But it's indicative of a very bad attitude. But again, although lenience is extended to children, but you won't be children. Of course, who I'm addressing, they won't listen. They won't listen to this kind of thing. But it's something, why am I even speaking these things? Well, for those who are sincere, because we all have tendencies toward insincerity, that's why we're in the material world in the first place. And so we can recognize this kind of, help us to recognize this kind of thing, because it is bewildering how people are at least superficially chanting Hare Krishna and living with Vaishnavas, and how can they be like that? So much lenience is extended within Vaishnava society, and especially to children. But children should know that you're not going to be a child very long, and soon you're going to be held responsible for your actions. Socially, it won't be appreciated. Legally, there'll be repercussions if you're cheating in society legally. And karmically, people might beat you up in this life, or you'll just go to hell. You could take birth as a snake. So those who are taking schooling, and I'm this is not a general indictment of the boys in our Gurukul or the girls who go to our separate school. It's not an indictment of them. Overall, we're very happy with all of you, and we'll be happy to see you take your place as worthy citizens in the future Vaishnava society. But it is painful to the heart that when we see that those who have so much energy has been invested in them, that the teachers especially have given themselves selflessly to help others come up, and then they don't care for the teachers, just disrespect them. Now, I must say, when I was a kid at school, I disrespected my teachers, and I regret that now. But actually, in many ways, they weren't respectable, and many of them, one of them told me, he said, why am I a teacher? Because, it's not long hours, and you know, it's not a difficult job, and you get long holidays, why not? He wasn't interested in the students. It was just the best deal for him in his life, as he thought. So this attitude toward the teachers, who the teachers we have in our Gurukuls, they're very, very sincere devotees. And to disrespect them and think yourself, I outfoxed my teacher, tricked them, played games with them. And you have to decide if you're going to behave like this. Do you want to be a devotee, or you want to be a demon? And even in Kami society, if you are excessively like this, then people don't like it at all. If you want to be a devotee, then you have to choose humility over egoism. If you don't, you'll soon forget all that you learned in these years, and instead, the things that we taught, you'll forget all that, or you'll use it, say, as a means to propel yourself forward in your egoistic attempt. It's like that example is given of feeding a snake with milk and bananas. And we ourselves have to be more careful in who we take in, but it's often difficult to say. Often these tendencies don't become apparent until years later. This we are seeing. We can begin to understand why previously in the Gurukuls the boys, they had to live a very austere life. Still, in our Gurukuls, it's not a bed of roses, so to speak. There is austerity, no doubt. But previously it was very austere, and the boys had to go out begging to learn humility. That's not there now, and they couldn't even take food unless they were called to take it. They were trained from the beginning to acharyang mang vijani an avamanyeta karahichit. They were always trained to see the guru as good as God, to serve the guru in all respects. There was a very nice picture. I think there was one by B.G. Sharma of the boys Rama and Lakshman massaging the legs of Vishwamitra. Menial service they would do. But if after so much has been invested in you, you simply become proud and arrogant, then what did you learn? Vidya dadati vinayam. Knowledge should give humility, not arrogance. Arrogance is the sign of a fool. He may be a very highly respected fool, maybe a very learned and a superficially intelligent fool, but arrogance means that one has got a bigger opinion of himself than he should have, because we should all know, if we actually have knowledge, that we're very, very, very tiny beings, and we're all dependent on the mercy of Krishna and the Vaishnavas. Anyway, on one hand, you can say that, well, they got benefit. Yeah, they got benefit. They chanted. I don't know how deeply in their heart the chanting went. That's one outlook. That will never go in vain. On the other, we should be very careful because, as Srila Prabhupada used to quote from Chanakya Pandit, that the fire in the hollow of one tree can destroy a whole forest. And Srila Prabhupada said that one bad devotee can destroy the whole institution. It's quite a warning, isn't it? One pure devotee, ekas chandras tamohanti, kimnatara sahasrashaha. One pure devotee, just like one moon illuminates the whole sky, whereas so many stars can't do that. So let us try to be moons of Srila Prabhupada. And let us try for that. That when Krishna thinks of us, when Prabhupada sees us, he'll see here's someone who's tried to be one of my moons, and not one of those latent fires which can destroy everything. So yeah, it's not such happy discussion, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who said, prema nija dhan, my real wealth is prema, love of Krishna, he also spoke about such things, so we also have to do so from time to time. Hare Krishna, vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nidhaya churna kang padayo nipatya kridvacha kakushatameta dahambravimi hey sadhava sakala eva vihaya duranga ranga chandra charne kurutam.